Thanks for being with us today. You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Andy Klein. You know, one of the wonderful things about Juno is that it coexists with some of the most beautiful wetlands you'll ever find. The downside of that, of course, is that those wetlands are awfully close to some industrial and heavily used areas, and they're prone to collecting a lot of trash. And it takes some heavy lifting to remove that trash. That's why the Southeast Alaska Land Trust is hoping to have a lot of help tomorrow with its wetlands cleanup, part of a citywide effort. Joining us now, Nancy Waterman, who serves on the board of the Southeast Alaska Land Trust. She's also on the board for Litter Free, which is also organizing tomorrow's big cleanup. Nancy, thanks so much for joining us today via Zoom. Appreciate it.
It's a beautiful afternoon, Andy, and we're looking forward to sunshine tomorrow.
Yeah, there'll be some good weather tomorrow. And a big focus, I know, for tomorrow's wetlands cleanup is that Vanderbilt Creek Conservation property. Tell us a little bit about why that area needs a little TLC, as they would say.
That's right. So Vanderbilt Creek property is about just a little more than 37 acres. It's our most recent acquisition with a conservation easement. For those who didn't grow up on a farm, an acre is just slightly smaller than a football field. So there are a lot of acres there at Vanderbilt Creek, an important salmon spawning stream, if people didn't know that. And it happens to be just near our landfill. Eagles, the wind, all kinds of bear activity and things like that bring garbage to us on Vanderbilt Creek property. So we're in the beginning phase of starting to clean up that area. And tomorrow will be one of those efforts, starting at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, so just so I can figure out the geography. So there's Lemon Creek, there's Vanderbilt Creek, there's Schweitzer Creek, all in that area. Which is which? When people think of Vanderbilt Creek, of course, Vanderbilt Creek Road or Vanderbilt Road is right there. Is that the general area there, kind of by Western Auto?
Yeah, think of the Mormon Church where it is, and right across Glacier Highway from Western Auto. And if you've been on the Lemon Creek Trail, sometimes you park in the Western Auto parking lot and go across the creek or go across the street to the beginning of that trailhead. There's a secondary trailhead at Costco, but the original trailhead was right there across from Western Auto.
So when you're driving, you're sort of driving from Egan Drive towards like the recycling center and all that area. It's all that area on the right hand side of the road there, a kind of grassy area, and is that right? Or
that's correct. Okay. Yeah, it's an area that holds the snow quite a length of time in the spring, and then you see the foliage coming up in a very typical Southeast Alaska wetlands.
So tell me a little bit about why that area was an area of interest for the conservation for conserving.
Primarily, the drainage that comes down from the mountainside into the very shallow, as you recognized, Vanderbilt Creek is not a very large system. It's not a Lemon Creek. It's not a Schweitzer Creek. But it's a system that hosts a lot of the coho salmon and a salmon that isn't hosted in many other areas in Juneau area. So Vanderbilt Creek is important for that. And the size of the property. And it's one of those properties, I think people sometimes think of Southeast Alaska as the Tongass National Forest. Why do we need anything other than the forest in our backyard? But I think the conservation easements that Seal Trust holds are those smaller acreages close into our community where we hike and recreate in a natural way and that preserve the values that complement our development. So part of the system that Southeast Alaska Land Trust provides is to work with willing landowners now in order to recognize high value conservation properties and with terms of the conservation easement in place protect these properties in perpetuity for the future as our communities continue to develop.
When did
so Vanderbilt Cute is one of those properties.
When did Southeast Alaska Land Trust, when were they able to acquire that property?
We closed after many years. I'm going to guess it was up to 10 years of working with a landowner on that property. We closed in February of 2021 on that acreage.
Wow, so a recent accomplishment to get that as part of the land trust.
That's correct. So many years ago, the airport, Juneau Airport, was expanded, and there was mitigation required for that expansion. And Seal Trust received the funds for that. And so we're completing just now, actually this year, we're completing the use of those funds in preserving places, as I say, close into our community that will be very valuable for the public in the future, use.
Can you explain that concept a little bit, the idea of mitigation and how that plays into what Southeast Alaska Land Trust does?
Yes, in just a brief overview, it is that we are part of a system that has so much high value and still natural areas within our boundaries. And yet we also balance those places where we want to develop things like deep water ports and coastal residences and shipping and things like that. I'm not being very articulate. So there's a balance in preservation, and we are so rich to have so many acres that are still in condition to be preserved rather than redeveloped or restored. And so balancing in within our community, those places that we want to keep with the natural conservation values, and sometimes we have to give a little bit in one area, and in order to do our development exactly where we need it.
Yeah, it's a recognition there's some areas that just have pressure for development and where certain kinds of development just can't happen elsewhere, but then the land that's developed on, it's a recognition of the value of that land and trying to capture that value somewhere else in the general area.
That's right. So again, go back to the Juneau Airport. It was established in that location a long time ago, and now we have a need for longer runways, et cetera. And yet at each end of that runway are Mendenhall Wetland, now Mendenhall Wetland State Game Refuge properties, and at the other end, and the Mendenhall River and the estuarian features that are there. And so it was mitigated that we be able to use both ends to expand. And then in the process, Seal Trust has acquired smaller properties in various parts of the community for preserving the natural areas that are so important.
When the land trust receives land or buys land, is there a blanket type of use for those lands, or are they kind of different for each piece of land that comes in? Is one land completely no touch zone, and another one is you know, hunting, fishing allowed, or you know, how do those rules happen?
Right. So we have a guide of how we value, first of all, in order to qualify a property when a willing owner comes to us. And then the terms of the conservation easement are carefully thought out. I'll go over to Admiralty Island, where the Lobaugh property is located. And Cliff and Sharon Lobaugh had an amazing garden over there for many, many years, and also a large piece of property that has some estuarian and high-value wetlands. And so part of that conservation easement includes keeping the forest trimmed in order that the garden can continue to be used. And there's also a building there. And so the conservation easement allows for that building and, in fact, allows for an additional building. So conservation easements, the terms of those conservation easements are written according to standards that the land trust meets and the needs of the landowner.
I see. Well, let's talk a little bit about the cleanup itself that's happening tomorrow. So it's going to start at 8 o'clock in the morning. Is that right?
That's right. 8 to 10. We want to finish at Sunny Point while the tide is relatively low. And then additionally, we'll be over at Vanderbilt Creek. Jordan Tanguay, our conservation field person, field specialist, will be there greeting people at the Western Auto parking lot. And I'll be at Sunny Point greeting people at the West End, and Coastal Code, the Alaska Brewery feature, will be at the East End of Sunny Point. So two opportunities to go around Sunny Point and pick up the trash that you see there. So, Andy, I'm going to remind you that you and Lou Logan were at the cleanup last year, and you brought in one of the largest pieces of styrofoam of the day last year.
We did. So we nearly wrenched our backs, but also we're fortunate to find a winter sled out on the wetlands as well during that, and so we dragged it back on a sled. But it does seem like those chunks of styrofoam, boy, those are big offenders, aren't they? It really feels good to get those out of there.
It really is important. And so I thank you very much for that. One, not last year, but a couple of years ago, there was a young lady who also recognized it's not just the big pieces of styrofoam that need to come out of the wetlands, but she just sat down and for about an hour, she picked up little tiny pieces of styrofoam and put them in a bag. And so her work was as valuable as yours.
Yes.
I'll just say that.
I think that ravens and seagulls like to peck at those styrofoam, and they just make a mess out of them. But it is true. And that's really, of course, that's when they, you know, when they're little pieces like that, that's when they become more dangerous for animals and that sort of thing. So you're right. That work was important for her to do. But it certainly was rewarding to pull out a gigantic chunk of that styrofoam. That was fun.
That's right. There was one year also when people like Bruce Denton and Frank Rue and the Alaska Airlines Green Team took apart a huge dock segment and got rid of the styrofoam. And then a week later, Trail Mix volunteers extraordinaire, including Dave Haas, came out and rigged up a system for carrying about a 20 foot long 6x12 off the wetlands and used it in their work over at the Treadwell Trail, I understand.
Oh, all right. So it's been reused.
So some things
very
are
good.
Yeah, some things are reused. And I'll also highlight Scott Foster found a Lashes kidney and liver bitters bottle. The best cathartic and blood purifier. And we looked at eBay, and it was probably a 1920s bottle, and it was probably worth someplace between $35 and $120.
All right.
So you never know. You never know what you're going to find on the wetlands.
Some snake oil salesman had given that to someone, and there you go.
That's right. Up, yeah.
Well, good. Well, it certainly is. I would vouch that it certainly is a fun, great activity. I always use it as an excuse to bring a dog and, you know, get the dog walk in as well. And it's really fun to get out on the wetlands. Plus, it's awesome to get out on the wetlands when it's a low tide. It's beautiful out there, and then it feels great to clean it up a little bit too. And it really does make a huge difference. You know, you really notice the before and after of the cleanup. I always just notice it just driving down Egan, you can see the difference.
Absolutely. It does make a huge difference. Andy, I'm going to add on that we are going to continue our Vanderbilt Creek cleanups starting on May 4th, Wednesday, May 4th, from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. So about an hour and a half every Wednesday, May 4th through June 13th. So that'll be about an hour and a half each Wednesday afternoon. And if people want more information about those ongoing cleanups at Vanderbilt Creek, they can contact Jordan Tangway at the Seal Trust office.
And that's Jordan at SEALT.org.
That's correct.
All right.
Yep.
Well, thanks so much. I think we're all going to feel better getting rid of the maybe some of the winter cobwebs tomorrow, and that includes all that trash that accumulates over the winter. And thanks for coming and telling us about the watershed cleanup. Nancy Waterman with the Southeast Alaska Land Trust. Thanks so much. It's great talking to you, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you, Andy.
All right. Well, Sunday is Family Beach Day at the Jensen Olson Arboretum. We'll tell you why you have to get up extra early for that. That's coming up when we come back.
Free COVID-19 vaccines and boosters are available at the Juneau Airport every day from 10:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. No appointment required, just walk in. Capstone Clinic, on behalf of the state of Alaska, can administer vaccines to anyone in Juneau ages 5 to adult. The airport clinic offers youth and adult Pfizer doses, as well as Moderna and Johnson & Johnson for adults. Park in the short-term lot and bring your tickets inside to get validated parking. This message sponsored by CBJ.
The full Juneau Symphony Orchestra returns to the main stage, presenting musicians' favorites under the direction of new music director Dr. Christopher Cook, April 30th and May 1st at Thunder Mountain High School Auditorium. We look forward to being with you together again. Tickets for this concert featuring Sibelius Symphony No. 2 and our youth solo competition winner, Angela Huffer, are available now at junosymphony.org or give us a call at 586-4676. This message sponsored by the Juneau Symphony.
Welcome back to Juneau Afternoon. Andy Klein with you. We'll picture a Sunday morning at the beach with the kids. Well, there's a perfect place to go. The Jensen Olson Arboretum is hosting a family beach day on the first day of May. That's this Sunday. And Corrine Conlon is with us right now. And Corrine, thanks so much for joining us. And you're helping put this together. You're with Friends of the Jensen Olson Arboretum. And good to see you again.
It's good to see you. Yeah, we're really excited. I mean, I think the spring weather just makes all of us in Juneau want to get out and be outside. And low tide is one of the best things about living near the beach. So,
you know, it's funny you mentioned low tide. And, you know, I'm always just, when I visit the Arboretum, I just always stay where the plantings are. And of course, it's beautiful, and you can see the shrine over to the left and all that, but you don't really think about going down onto the beach there. But of course, obviously, the beach is right there. So tell me a little bit about what makes that beach special.
Well, I mean, I think it's just like I've always gone low tiding, I mean, from when my daughter was young, out at the shrine, because the shrine's such a great place for low tiding. But of course, it makes sense that that beach right in front. So there's, you know, there's just it's just kind of a mix, just like at the shrine. So there's a real sandy beach that has its own particular like organisms, and like you can dig for clams and worms and there's just different things that you can find. And then there's a great rocky area. And of course, this time of year, there's a lot of great seaweeds that are coming out. And we have some experts from UAS who are coming out to help explore the algae especially. So that's exciting.
Now this is that area called Pearl Harbor? Is that the name of that area?
I think that's
our little version of Pearl Harbor. And I was just wondering if there was traditional oyster activity or that sort of thing in that area. But
I don't know.
I am stumping you. Very good. I love when I stump the guests. It's the best. Well, tell me about kind of the mission of the Arboretum. Obviously, you have a beautiful garden, but there's a real educational component too, and this feels like it fits right in with that educational component.
Absolutely. I mean, so Ginger Hudson is the manager, so she's a CBJ employee, and so she oversees the Arboretum itself, and then Friends of Jensen Olson Arboretum, they are kind of like Friends of the Library. I think their real mission is to kind of really provide and support the Arboretum and whatever its needs. And they hired me as the educational coordinator. So I'm doing 3 kids activities this summer. Obviously family beach day this Sunday. Then there's going to be nature drawings. So it's the Arboretum's 15th anniversary. And so they're going to do art in the garden. So nature drawing will kind of go with that. And that's June 12th. And then in July is, I guess, a very famous bug day kind of celebration. And we're still deciding on the dates for that. But so I will plan and organize the volunteers and all the activities for these 3 events. But it's, yeah, I mean, it's fun. I mean, planning things like this is just the best.
Yeah. Right? And what a great resource. It's such a, I mean, it is such a gorgeous spot, number one. And then the way it's just been curated as this incredibly special garden for years and years and years. And so it's just one of those great peaceful places to go and to walk around, but then also to build in that you're going to go down at this very early morning from 8 to 10. Tell me, why is it going to be so early in the morning? What's going on?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, the tide is not necessarily with us because the minus tide is at 8:20 in the morning. And so this was really kind of the day that we could pick. There were some others later, but there was already things happening at the Arboretum. So 8:20 is low tide. And so we're just taking advantage of that and really hoping that people will go, yes, you know, bring your kids in their pajamas. I mean, we don't care. But, you know, put them in the car, let them sleep on the drive out there. But it should be a lot of fun. I mean, there's, you know, I did, when we did bio blitzes here in Juneau, the first couple of bio blitzes, I did low tiding with Pat Harris, who worked for NOAA for many, many years. And there were things, I mean, like I had been low tiding since I moved here in 95. And there was so much that I learned from her that I just didn't know. And so there's something about having those, that expertise and having people who, you know, can kind of see things in a different way, or, I mean, they just have so much knowledge. You can always learn more. So I'm excited. And so we've tried to build some activities that will kind of expand, you know, that kind of math and science perspective while still having a whole bunch of fun.
Well, so. It is an interest. Seeing those incredibly low tides here, there's really nothing else like it to get your mind wrapped around how our Earth is really shaped by these massive forces that are invisible except for the tide that comes in. So it's a negative 2.2 at 8:20 on Sunday. That is a really low tide. And that's, I love it. Love that time when the sea anemones kind of hang off like used chewing gum, you know, just gross, but they're so cool. And it, you can just see they almost look surprised, like, what is going on? This rock has been great until today. What is happening today? Yeah, so I love seeing those low tides at that time. You know, 8:20 is not that early. I mean, that's fine. People should be able to get out there. Yeah, I'd say get out there early and take advantage. And, you know, it's wrapped around that very low tide at minus 2.2. So, you know, even at 9 o'clock, 9:30, it'll still be a nice low tide. So, yeah.
It will be. And we have some activities on the beach. Like, we're going to create a tide pool environment and then, you know, dump water and kind of see, you know, what tides do and how different creatures live at different areas of the tide pool. And we have a shell activity. So, I mean, and yeah, so I think it'll be great.
It's going to be fun too. Yeah, I think to have families kind of go together and in a way that's a little bit guided, have parents and children and older sisters and older brothers and all that kind of working together to figure out some of these things, to know some of the principles and math behind it, but also to see and observe what's happening at a low tide in Southeast.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, no, I think it's a great opportunity. And I mean, the Arboretum is just beautiful. I mean, I think it's always beautiful, but like the spring with, I mean, the primulas are coming up and the crocuses are up. It's just such a beautiful location. We're so lucky to have it and to, yeah, have this part of our community that we can go to for free, you know?
And it's amazing to think about 15 years of the Arboretum. That seems amazing to me. It just feels like the Arboretum isn't hasn't been around that long, but of course it has. And it was a beautiful spot before that, before it became a public spot. But now it is, and it's a great resource for those of us in Juneau.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So can I talk about some other things that are going to happen this summer?
Yeah. Let's hear about it.
So I do the kids events, but Ginger's been working hard, and, you know, friends of the Jensen Olsen Arboretum have been working hard as well. So May 15th, so there will be something I've heard on Mother's Day, which is May 8th. So I think there might be, it's a big visitation day. And now I'm like, I want to go out there for Mother's Day.
Is there a super plant sale that happens the day before Mother's Day on the 7th? Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
So Friends of the Jensen Olsen Arboretum will be at the plant sale just to provide information about their organization and about the Arboretum, but they're not going to be selling any plants this year.
Okay. Yeah. But they'll be there.
But it's huge. Definitely go to the big plant sale. It's going to be after 2 years. I mean, it's always crazy. After 2 years, it's going to be, I think, even more crazy.
Right. And then Mother's Day. That's great. And then you said there's a day of Primula tours. That's happening on the 15th?
Yeah. So there'll be some experts to really talk, because we live in a great environment for Primula. So primroses. And so to have people there to go, this is this and this is this. I always need that.
They're
kind of.
Primroses are so varied and different, you know, but there's something about them you can always kind of tell. I'm not sure if it's in the leaf or what, but you can always sort of go, that looks like a primrose, even though it has a wildly different flower than like the drumstick primrose or the other kind of ones that are around. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, no, isn't that great? I mean, I think it's kind of, I don't know, when you're in a room with half the people are named Bob or Andy or something like that, like you can just kind of go, that's a primrose, and know that 50% of the time you're going to be right.
There's
so,
a Bob over there.
Yeah. Right. And then some other things that are happening. So May 28th is Alaska Public Gardens Day, which we haven't really done so much in Juneau, but this year we're really starting that. June 12th, of course, is Nature Drawing. And then June 15th opens the Art in the Garden reception. So there'll be artists who are presenting their work out there, which is great. And then July 10th is a native plant walk and talk. And so that was really popular last year. And then sometime in July, there will be the Bug Day, which I'm really looking forward to.
The Bug Day. I know. That sounds really cool. I like the idea of a Bug Day.
I supposedly it's spectacular, and I have not gone, but there are like models of caterpillars and a ladybug, and we were looking through the basement of the caretaker's house to like see what kind of things we had, and we're like, here's some more Bug Day stuff, and here's right. some stamps, and here's this. There's a lot. So
don't stomp on that. It's for Bug Day.
Right. That's right.
Right. Well, that sounds really cool. Of course, I mean, all those animals, you know, the interconnectedness of the environment, animals like bugs that maybe seem like pests or creepy crawlies, of course, they all have an important role to play. So that's really cool to hear about all that learning that can happen just around something as what we would sort of think of as just a every day as a beautiful garden. There's so much learning that can happen around it. It must be really rewarding to be the education, be able to work in that as the education person for the Friends of the Arboretum.
Yeah, I miss the teaching component of what I'm doing right now for my, you know, my other job. And so, yeah, to have that opportunity to kind of think about those learning opportunities is really fun.
Well, we hope some families take advantage of your beach day. Let's go through it one more time. It's just happening Sunday morning starting at 8 o'clock. There's an incredible negative 2.2 low tide at 8:20, so the earlier you get there, the better. And tell me a little bit about what people just show up at the Arboretum and – Yeah,
we're asking that people register beforehand for the kids' events. We ask that for registrations ahead of time. So, you know, if you go onto the website, you can Google friends of Juno or Jensen, and it'll pop up. So it's a complicated website, but if you do friends of Jensen, it'll pop up. And there's a tab that says events, and you can go there, and there's a link to do the registration. If people would like, they can call me. My phone number is 702-630-5624, or my email is dirtgirlgardening@gmail.com. So
right.
dirtgirlgardening@gmail, and I'm happy to help people with the registration. So.
All right. Well, Corinne, that sounds great. Thanks so much for joining us. I think it sounds like memories are going to be made on Sunday,
exactly.
I'm sure. And it's a great way of an introduction to the Jensen Olson Arboretum for folks who haven't been there before. And for folks who have, it's a great way to enjoy that resource we have in our community. Corinne Conlon, thanks so much for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.